Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Oh no, let's go! You don't lie.
Here we go, it's another edition of the Wobcast. Welcome back, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn by my side, and we have a jam-packed edition of the Wobcast for you today. Tons of newsmakers around the NFL doing their thing and making news. Tons of Vikings news, and of course a draft coming up next week. So we have a lot to talk about. Later in the show, we're going to preview some of our draft coverage that you'll see next week on Vikings.com. We're going to give you five wide receivers to watch that no one is talking about later on in the show. We'll also get into some more draft fodder, including some trade possibilities for the Vikings in the first round. But first, we're going to go to some NFL news. Another trade atop the first round in the NFL draft. A couple of weeks ago, it was the St. Louis Rams who moved up from number 15 to number 1 with the Tennessee Titans. This week, it's the Philadelphia Eagles who moved from number 8 to number 2 with the Cleveland Browns. So the draft has not even begun, yet it's continuing to make tons of waves and tons of news. And that, folks, is reason 17,374,000 why the NFL is king. Nate, your reaction when you saw this trade between the Eagles and the Browns?
It was definitely a surprise. I mean, a lot of people talked about the Browns dealing that pick. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had a number of different teams connected to it. It was actually interesting. We were at one of our company-wide meetings that we have every month or so when the guy I was sitting next to had Twitter open and just showed me his phone and showed me the draft haul that the Eagles gave away to get the number 2 pick. And then you could kind of hear the whole room start buzzing a little bit. It was a pretty cool deal.
That is pretty cool. And the draft haul that Nate references that the Eagles traded in exchange for the number 2 pick. The Eagles give up their first round pick, number 8 overall. They also give up number 77 and number 100 this year. They give up their first rounder next year and their second rounder in 2008. So five total picks that the Eagles give up, including their first round pick this year and their first round pick next year. Going back to that Rams trade, the Rams gave up their first round pick this year to move up to number 1. They also gave up 2 second-round picks this year and a third-round pick this year and their first and third-round picks next year. So here you see two teams in the Rams and Eagles. I'm not going to say mortgaging their future because they still have draft picks to use this year and next year, but certainly mortgaging the early rounds of this year's draft, next year's draft, and for the Eagles, even the 2018 draft, they give up a second-round pick in that draft to go up and get a quarterback that they like. So what impact will these trades have on the first round is the next question that that 30 teams are asking right now. Those 30 teams, not including, of course, the Rams and the Eagles, because they know what it's going to bring. It's going to bring them a quarterback. I guess the Patriots aren't asking what that means for the first round either, because they've lost their first round pick.
They get the night off.
Yeah. So so what does it mean for the rest of the first round? Well, the top two picks are basically, they're going to be quarterbacks. I mean, you wouldn't give up that sort of draft pick compensation to move up to 1 and 2 if you weren't taking a quarterback.
Especially when you're sitting at 8 already.
Right.
I mean, you're in a position you're going to get, well, by definition, a top 10 talent in the draft.
Right.
If you're moving up from 8 to 2, I mean, you're connect the dots. It looks like you're taking a quarterback.
I'm also going to say the Rams are not now deciding which one they're going to take. The Rams have decided who they're taking. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, they probably won't tell us, though.
No, they won't. But, I mean, you're not going to do that, what the Rams did, if you didn't know exactly who you wanted. And I'm going to guess the Eagles have a pretty good idea what the Rams are going to do, too, somehow, some way. You know, otherwise, I don't think you would do that unless you just love both of the quarterbacks. So, anyway, first two picks are going to be quarterbacks. What does that mean? Well, it means that the San Diego Chargers, who are at number 3, they're going to get, and they don't need a quarterback, at least for the short term, because they have Phillip Rivers. It means they're going to get their pick of all the non-quarterbacks in this draft. So they have the pseudo number 1 overall pick now, really, because most teams aren't looking to use a first-round pick on a quarterback this year, including the Chargers. And so so the Chargers have the pseudo number 1 overall pick. A lot of people think it's going to be Laremy Tunsil. So let's assume that is the case, that the Chargers beef up their offensive line with Laremy Tunsil as the number one pick. What's that mean for Dallas? Well, it means Dallas. A lot of people projecting them to take a defensive player in this year's draft. That means Dallas, at number four overall, has the first pick of all the defensive players in this year's draft. That's how I would look at it if I was the Cowboys. We're going to get, even though we're fourth overall, we're going to get our first pick on defense most likely. That means that when you look at the defensive prospects in this draft, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a guy that some people thought the Titans could pick number one overall. Really good shot that the earliest he goes is number four to Dallas. And if Dallas goes with DeForest Buckner, the best defensive tackle, or Joey Bosa, the best defensive end, that means Ramsey might not go to four. And if the Jaguars go with Miles Jack, one of the best linebackers, or with one of those other defensive linemen, that means Ramsey might not even go at five. He might not go until six at the Baltimore Ravens. And the same can be said for DeForest Buckner. A lot of people thought he could go third to the Chargers. He might not go until number six to the Ravens or anywhere in between. So what it means is it's pushing a lot of good players down the draft board. And I think another domino could fall in this, Nate, because obviously more than two teams are looking to use a first-round pick on a quarterback, more than just the Eagles, more than just the Rams. And so if you're that third team, you may have to move up a little bit sooner than you were going to have to 3 weeks ago to get Paxton Lynch, if that's the quarterback that you want. So if you're the Jets at 20, do you feel comfortable waiting from number three to number 20, hoping that the quarterback that's left falls to you?
It will be interesting to see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Just when you came down in the studio, we started talking about the Eagles trade. So we're like, okay, so the first two picks are probably quarterbacks. How soon does that mean Paxton Lynch could be drafted?
Right.
Like their mock drafts, you probably didn't see him drafted until like 25 or higher, maybe not even the first round. Now you're talking about, well, could Paxton Lynch work his way up to a top 10 or 15
right.
pick?
I mean,
just because of a move that has nothing to do with him.
Right. So because really, again, like we said, the Chargers have the pseudo number one pick now in the draft, because we all know that the Rams and Eagles are going to be taking quarterbacks. You can also say Paxton Lynch is the pseudo number one quarterback available right now. I mean, we know that Carson Wentz is probably going to be gone. We know that Jared Goff's probably going to be gone. So for all the teams who aren't the Eagles and aren't the Rams, the number one quarterback available is Paxton Lynch. That increases his value. I will be surprised if Paxton Lynch lasts beyond pick number 15. And I will be surprised if the team that gets Lynch just sits there and takes him. I think the team that gets Paxton Lynch is going to be a team that trades up to get him, the Jets perhaps at number 20. So suffice it to say, good players are going to be pushed down this draft board. I think another domino will fall in Paxton Lynch being taken in the top 15. And then the question is, how many quarterbacks wind up going in the first round this year? I mean, at one point in time, people were down on this quarterback class, said that's nothing compared to Mariota and Winston last year. There are no Andrew Lucks in this year's class. And now all of a sudden, it looks like three is a certainty. And throw Connor Cook in there, he could be the fourth. And then I watched Gruden's QB camp with Christian Hackenberg on ESPN earlier this week, and he says he'll be shocked if Hackenberg doesn't go in the first round. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. I trust John Gruden. He knows more than I. But I mean, you have teams in the second half of this draft, Buffalo, the Jets, Arizona, Denver. Those teams, you cannot say with certainty, will not take a quarterback. I know the Bills have Tyrod Taylor, but, those are all teams that I can just think of off the top of my head who could take a quarterback. And that's not counting a team like Cleveland, who's at 32 in the second round this year. 32nd pick is a second round pick this year. They could trade up into the first round and get their quarterback after all. So really interesting stuff what's happening atop the draft with those two blockbuster trades and the impact it has. It really filters throughout the rest of the first round, even all the way down to the Vikings at 23. Okay, Josh Norman is no longer a Carolina Panther. He had the franchise tag slapped on him by the Carolina Panthers, which was going to guarantee him $13.9 million for one season if he would have signed it. He did not sign it, and the Panthers now have cold feet. They've rescinded the franchise tag, which makes Josh Norman an unrestricted free agent, free to sign with any team he wishes. As you've noted on the outline, Nate, we play the Carolina Panthers in week three, we may play a Josh Norman-less Carolina Panthers team in week three. The door is open for a return to Carolina, though, so I don't think we get too excited. The other reason not to get too excited is I saw that Adam Schefter and NFL.com both listed some teams that you could tie to Josh Norman or that have reportedly expressed interest in Josh Norman. Tell me what all of these teams have in common, Nate, okay? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Washington Redskins, Chicago Bears, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think we talked about all those teams in the last Wobcast.
And why
we talked
did we
about
do that?
The 2016 schedule for
yes!
the Vikings.
So we may play Josh Norman after all, if any one of those teams, including the Carolina Panthers, end up with Josh Norman. We will play him after all. So I think this is an interesting real-time case study on the franchise tag. If you're a player and your team puts the franchise tag on you, Nate, you obviously have two options. You sign it or you don't sign it. Signing it gives you a guaranteed one-year contract on the spot. When you sign that franchise tender, the injury risk goes to the team because even if you get hurt, you're getting paid. When you don't sign the tender, the injury risk is on you because you have not signed it, and if you get hurt, the Panthers can do what they did to Josh Norman and rescind it. So the injury risk is on you as long as you don't sign it. Once you sign it, injury risk goes to the team. Now, the downside to signing it is, yep, you get injury risk is shifted to the team. You get that guaranteed contract, but now you have to show up to all the mandatory stuff or else you're going to get fined. You're going to be in breach of your contract. So you got to go to the offseason program. You got to go to the mini camps, and you got to go to training camp. If you don't sign the tender, you can hold out and not be penalized for that. And so if I were a player, I think I would wait until the deadline to sign it, assume the injury risk, but not show up to those voluntary programs, sign it at the deadline, and all throughout that process, be in good faith with the team and try and negotiate a long-term deal. We all know deadlines spur action, right? I mean, when you're a kid, when do you do your homework? I mean, you know, you do it right before you go to bed. I mean, right? I mean, you're using study hall, fifth-hour study hall to get your sixth-hour homework done, right? I mean, so deadline spur action. That's the number one takeaway we should take from this. But here, the Carolina Panthers kind of flipped the script a little bit and surprised everyone by releasing Josh Norman. So it'll be interesting to see where Josh signs. I don't rule out that he could still be a Carolina Panther. Okay, we bring in Lindsey Young, one of our great writers for Vikings.com and the Vikings Entertainment Network, to talk about a few things. But I want to start, Lindsey, with a really cool, interesting interview you had with a former Viking where you talked about a bunch of current Vikings.
Yeah, definitely. So I had the opportunity to interview Warren Moon. I met him, oh gosh, it was probably a little over a month now when he was in town to do an autograph signing. Mm-hmm. So I met him in person there, chatted a little bit, told him that I would love to talk to him about his thoughts on the current Vikings and kind of the direction that we're headed, some of our players. He wasn't able to talk in person that day, but he was super great about getting in contact with me after that. And mm-hmm. so we did a phone interview last week, and he had a lot of great things to say about Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson, Zimmer.
Okay, let's get into this a little bit because he's got an interesting perspective. Hall of Fame player,
yep.
In the CFL and the NFL, obviously, but former Viking.
Yeah.
And played well for the Vikings mm-hmm. On a good team. And then broadcaster for the Seahawks. Seahawks have played the Vikings a bunch of times recently, right, including in the playoffs last year. So he's got a good perspective on the Vikings, and he's got to keep all that in mind and balance all that because he works for another team, but he's a former Viking, and he's going to say nice things about everyone, of course. But, you know, it's interesting perspective for him being on both sides of the fence. So what did he say about Teddy?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, it is an interesting kind of twist that he has looking at it from his job with the Seahawks now. But he was able to see Teddy play in person twice last year mm-hmm. and has obviously watched a lot of game film. But he said that he was really impressed with Teddy. He really likes his demeanor, was kind of the first thing that he said about him. He said that he plays, you know, calm. He doesn't get too excited if they're doing really well, or too low if he makes an error of any kind. He just stays really even keel, which he mentioned was really good for being a leader on the team. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, if your players can tell that you're not freaking out about something, it's going to keep them more calm too, which is going to make it easier to lead. So he commented a lot on that. He also said that he is expecting to see big things from him this year, which I think we all are. So that's exciting. He mentioned if the offensive line is improved, that'll be huge for Teddy. And also just, you know, getting a consistent receiving core. This will be Diggs' second year, mm-hmm. so seeing more from him and things like that.
Yeah. I think I saw a quote in there where you quoted him as saying about Adrian, he's on a whole different level or mm-hmm. something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about Adrian a little bit, and I asked him, you know, well, when you played with a lot of great guys. Were there any running backs that you played with either on your team or just in the league that you would compare to Adrian? And he legitimately thought about it for a few seconds. And then that's when he said, you know, AP is on an entirely different category.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. I mean, he played for 17 seasons and he couldn't come up with one other player that he would compare to Adrian and the skills that he has and the career that he's had too.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And you love to hear that about Adrian because he's our guy.
Absolutely.
But he plays a position that so many people are devaluing. And so to see mm-hmm. Warren, you know, say those nice things about Adrian, pretty cool. Okay, last one on Warren Moon,
yep.
Mike Zimmer.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like he's had a lot of personal interaction with Mike Zimmer, but he did say that he's followed his career when he was a defensive coordinator for Dallas and Cincinnati. And he said that he's always admired how he coaches his guys and the success that he's had. He mentioned that, you know, wherever he's been, he's had one of the best defenses in the league. Yeah. He also said that when he heard the Vikings were hiring Mike Zimmer, he was curious about what kind of transition he would make into being a head coach, and that some coordinators can make that transition and some are better in the coordinator role. But he said, you know, he's been impressed with what he's seen from Zimmer. And the biggest thing that he talked about was the players' respect for Zimmer and just kind of their relationship with him. Yeah. He said that just by watching tape and watching their interactions on the sidelines and things, that it's really clear that the Vikings players really want to play for Coach Zimmer and that that was a sign of a good coach.
And see, there's an example where when you talk to a Hall of Fame player, a guy who used to play the game, he gives you some evidence to support his opinion that you're not going to get from, like, everyone who just cites stats.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Like Mike Zimmer has had 11 defenses that have ranked in the top five in 25 years of coaching, so his players must really love him.
Right.
Like that's not how it works.
Right.
Right.
He can see that perspective from a player on, you know, just observing their interactions with him and,
that's pretty cool.
And things like that.
Okay. Another thing that you and Craig Peters and Eric Smith, two of our other writers, are doing is a Someone Like You series.
Yeah.
So we have the Adele GIF at the top of all these articles.
Gotta have it.
Yep. It's a written article series where we're taking every draft pick the Vikings have this year, the number pick overall. So first round, it's 23 overall. And then you guys are taking three picks on either side of that, right? Three or four picks on either side.
Yep.
So for 23, it would be 20 to 26 or
correct.
27.
Yep.
And then you're just saying, like, these are some players who were taken last year
mm-hmm.
in those spans, right?
Right. Yep.
So you had our first round pick. You had 23. And so you have an article up on the site right now that people should go and check out and read. And for those who haven't already, and for those who are going to, let's talk about a few of those names. What types of players can the Vikings expect to find around 23? I think the two names that stand out that we were talking about earlier are players from the two teams that went to the Super Bowl, actually,
mm-hmm.
Carolina and Denver, right?
Right, yeah.
Shaq Thompson being a safety / linebacker, and then Shane Ray being the pass rusher and defensive end. Outside of those two guys, any names that stand out to you positively or negatively, or any incomplete grades, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at Perriman for the Ravens and you really hope that he's going to be somebody that makes an impact in the league, but we didn't get to see him at all last year.
Right.
So that's just a giant question mark. I guess the only other one that kind of stood out to me he had more playing time maybe than I expected, and then but then his numbers don't necessarily reflect that, and that's Nelson Ogallower, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly.
Do you remember the Twins closer named Rick Aguilera?
Yes.
Go more down that road, Nelson Aguilar. That's what
Aguilar.
I go with.
Yeah. Okay.
So kind of like Rick Aguilera.
Okay, now I'm not going to forget that.
How do you get a Twins reference, a Rick Aguilera reference in the Wobcast?
Just did it.
Yep. Yep. Talk about Nelson Aguilar.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he played 13 games, which seems pretty good as a rookie, but he only had 23 receptions for 283 yards. So, you know, you look at that and you're like, is he going to make a bigger impact? It seems like he should be able to do something more. So I really, you know, would agree with you that those two names are the biggest ones we see on this list that really made an impact immediately in their first year.
Yeah. And the last thing on this, and those two names, where do they come? Let's see. You mentioned Perryman. He was 26th. Mm-hmm. Shane Ray was...
So Shane Ray was 23, which is what we're
right
picking.
Where we are. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you had Shaq Thompson, who's 25.
Right.
So you kind of wonder if maybe trading back a few spots, I mean, you can maybe get the same player.
Right.
You know, trading back a few spots that you can get at 23, possibly, depending on how the board falls.
Right.
Okay. Let's go. We thought you'd have an interesting perspective on this, too. NFL.com listed the five greatest Vikings of all time.
Yes.
Did you see who they put on the list?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that? Here they are. Number 5, Randall McDaniel. Number 4, Adrian Peterson. Number 3, Chris Carter. Number 2, Alan Page. Number 1, Fran Tarkenton. It gets to be one of those deals where it's hard to argue against any of them because when you argue against them, it's kind of like you're slighting them, and those are unslightable players. Mm-hmm. Your reaction to that list?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to argue against any of those being in the top, but then when you think about other guys that you think could be on there, I mean, I think 1 and 2, I just think I couldn't argue with at all. Right. I don't have any issue with them being on there. It is interesting to see, you know, a guard being on there with McDaniel, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, he was an awesome player. I was kind of bummed to not see Randy Moss on the list,
I guess, of course.
And John Randall, too. Those were the two names that came to me, and maybe that's because I'm a little bit younger generation, and so those players, like, I saw more of them.
Yep.
But yeah, it was an interesting list. And then Adrian really being the only recent era player that's on there, so.
Which is kind of cool. You like to see these lists and the people who make them not be prisoners of the moment.
Right, absolutely. Right?
You kind of like that. So you want to respect the players that have played recently, but you also want to respect the guys who have come before you. Paul Kraus has an NFL record that probably won't ever be broken. He has a career interceptions record. Mm-hmm. Another guy that you could potentially put on there. Here's the good news for Vikings fans and for those who appreciate Vikings history. Every name on there, on the top five, Randall McDaniel, Adrian Peterson, Chris Carter, Alan Page, Fran Tarkenton, and then the three names that we just mentioned, Moss, Randall, and Kraus, all of those guys either are Hall of Famers or will be Hall of Famers someday. So that's a good sign for your history.
You're right.
If the five best players or the eight best players in your team's history are all Hall of Famers, that's a good sign. Okay, good stuff, Lindsay.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. All right, we thank Lindsay for joining us. Nate, you stick around, obviously, and let's talk more draft. Trades. It's fun to talk about trades.
Especially when you're a Vikings fan, because they happen pretty often.
Yes, Rick Spielman. Some people call him Trader Rick, not because he is a Judas.
T-R-A-D-E-R.
Right, not that he's a Judas-like trader, but that he likes to trade. He likes to exchange. He likes to move up and move back. And so let's talk about some possibilities for the Vikings.
Okay.
The possibility of moving up. I have a scenario in mind where the Vikings would actually move up in the first round, surrender draft pick compensation to move up into the first round. And that is if, for some reason, Nate, you and I were running the draft and we're at pick 23 and we get to 21, the Washington Redskins. And our number one wide receiver is on the board. To me, that's a scenario where you start, maybe you think about trading up, because right in front of us is the Houston Texans, and everyone and their brother is mocking a wide receiver to the Houston Texans. And then right behind us, you have the Bengals. Everyone and their brother is mocking a wide receiver to the Bengals. That makes the most sense to me because they lost two wide receivers this offseason. The Houston Texans maybe could take a receiver, but maybe not. I could see him going a number of other different directions as well. But so here you're in a scenario where you have the Texans could take a receiver, the Vikings could take a receiver, and the Bengals could take a receiver. This is a hotbed area in the first round for wide receivers. So if we get to 21 and the receiver that Nate and I like the best is still on the board, I'm telling you to pick up the phone to call the Washington Redskins to see if we can flip them a fourth or fifth round pick and switch spots with them, jump ahead of the Houston Texans, jump ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals, who may also be trying to trade up, and see if we can get that receiver. Does that make some sense?
It makes sense. And we've seen before, Spielman is not shy about moving one or two spots. I mean, he's moved back one spot, I think, twice in the past few years when we've had higher picks in the first round and still gotten a great draft pick out of it. So he's not shy about moving just a little bit rather than making a big, big jump.
And I believe it was both times with the Cleveland Browns, we moved back from 3 to 4 and still got Khalil, and then we moved back from 8 to 9.
Yeah.
The Browns took Justin Gilbert, and then we took Anthony Barr. So, so it's worked out for the Vikings. Okay, moving back. Moving back with the Denver Broncos. Okay, the Broncos have the last pick of the first round, which
Super
this
Bowl
year,
champions.
Yep, they're the Super Bowl champs. This year it's the 31st pick because the New England Patriots had to forfeit a pick. So 31 picks in the first round. The Denver Broncos have the last one, number 31. And the thinking here is, let's say Paxton Lynch is still on the board or Connor Cook is still on the board, and the Broncos are like, hey, you know what? We lost Osweiler. Let's get a quarterback in the first round who can learn behind or compete with Mark Sanchez and can join John Elway and can join Gary Kubiak, both guys who know how to work with quarterbacks, and they want to get Connor Cook or Paxton Lynch. So the Broncos say to you, Nate, we'll give you our third-round pick, the 98th pick in this draft, to move up to your spot, and you move back to 31. That's an option.
Yeah.
You can argue that once you get down to 23 – you're kind of getting a similar player at 23 as you're getting at 31, right?
Yeah, that all depends, you know, on how Rick Spielman and the scouts have their board set up. You know, it's all about what they think. You know, if they think there's not a big gap between X player at 23 and X player at 31, then yeah, that'd be an appealing offer.
You take the third round pick and you move back. Yeah. Last one, and this is one where if you're one of the great fans who is downtown Minneapolis at the convention center taking part in the draft party festivities, you do not want to see this scenario unfold. But the Cleveland Browns suddenly have a ton of ammunition in this year's draft after the trade they just made with the Philadelphia Eagles. They have the 32nd pick in the draft, I do believe. 32nd or 33rd pick in the draft. And so they may feel compelled to move up into the first round to get the quarterback that they want. They decided not to take a quarterback at number 2, passing on Goff or Wentz. That's why they traded with the Eagles. They're now at number 8. I would presume they're not going to take a quarterback at number 8. And so if they want a first-round quarterback because you want that fifth-year option, which you have on first-round picks but no other picks, the Browns may feel compelled to move up with the Vikings at 23. This means the Vikings move out of the first round, do not have a first-round pick, at least for the time being. And what would the Browns have to give to do that? Probably maybe a third and a fifth, or you know, a second-round pick next year perhaps. But that could be a possibility that creeps up for the Vikings too. Or the Vikings can just stamp pad at 23 and take a player. A few interesting scenarios to consider between now and the draft. The draft, of course, will begin next Thursday night for the first round. All right, Nate, when you look at mock drafts for the Vikings, what do you see?
Lots of wide receivers.
Yes.
Lots of Laquon Treadwell, lots of Josh Doctson, maybe a few Corey Coleman's.
Yep.
Even a few Will Fullers.
Sprinkle in some Notre Dame in there.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, the Vikings could wind up with one of those cats at 23 or at 31 or at 33, wherever they end up picking first in this draft. But the Vikings may also choose to wait a little bit to take a receiver. And you can't blame them for doing that, considering one of the better performing players on the entire offense last year was Stephon Diggs, a rookie fifth rounder. So given that history, and given the history of many, many, many other quality and productive wide receivers taken in the second round and beyond in NFL history, you could understand why the Vikings would do that. So if that's the route the Vikings take, I just did a little bit of digging and found five wide receivers that I found interesting. Okay. So I'm gonna give you the name and then one line or two lines about them, and then you give me your quick reaction to that player. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Tyler Boyd, University of Pittsburgh. Most receptions and receiving yards in program history, plus 21 touchdowns in three seasons.
Well, Pittsburgh, you know, they don't have a very good track record of receivers, so take that for what it's worth.
Right. Yeah.
That's a joke because Larry Fitzgerald.
Correct. There.
So if you have the most receptions and yards in program history over Larry Fitzgerald, that's a pretty decent career.
Okay. Yes. So legitimate, right? Legitimate candidate.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Rashard Higgins, Colorado State. All-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns at Colorado State. As a junior in 2014, had 96 catches for 1,750 yards and 17 touchdowns, and his 17 touchdowns averaged 35 yards apiece.
So, by judging by that, he's a big play machine.
Yes. Malcolm Mitchell, University of Georgia, as a freshman, all SEC freshman with 85 catches, 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Tore his ACL, but came back with 2 solid seasons for the Bulldogs.
Even just playing as a freshman in the SEC says quite a bit. Yeah.
KJ May, University of Minnesota.
We know him.
Yeah, we know him. He lives in the same state we live in. This is what the NFL.com scouting report says about KJ May. May might be short, but he's not small.
Is it fair to say he may be short?
May be short, but he's not small. I thought you would like that, Nate.
Yeah.
Short, but not small.
Appreciate that.
With a compact build and above average play strength for his size, he isn't easily pushed around within his routes or before the catch. May has 2 traits that teams like in slot receivers: an ability to uncover quickly and a hyper-competitive demeanor. Can work with that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Jordan Payton, UCLA. The UCLA record holder with 201 receptions, billed as a tough, big receiver who runs great routes and will be a good run blocker, not rub blocker, as I have written on this sheet of paper. Run blocker. So, big, tough, good routes, and can run block.
You find plenty of good receivers in the Pac-12. They throw it around all over the place there.
Yes. And if you're a big guy and you're a tough guy, Mike Zimmer will love you. And if you're a good run blocker, Adrian Peterson will love you. And if you can run good routes, Teddy Bridgewater will love you.
3 important people.
Yeah.
Three guys that you want on your side.
Yeah, I would say so. So that was the 5th guy, Jordan Payton from UCLA. Now, no inside knowledge here. I don't know if the Vikings like any of these guys or not. This is literally, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Laquon Treadwell, Josh Doctson, and Corey Coleman. And I'm sick of talking about them. I'm going to find 5 guys who we never talk about. We never talk about these 5 guys. Maybe next week we can come up with 5 new ones too, because there are many more than just the ones we hear about all the time in this class for the Vikings. All right. Draft coverage on Vikings.com. Let's preview some of it coming up next week. Because we have a ton of it. So we're going to be your place for draft coverage as it relates to the entire league and obviously specifically as it relates to the Vikings. It's going to begin, of course, on Monday with the Monday Morning Mailbag. Nate and I will record a Wobcast on Tuesday. And that Wobcast will come after Rick Spielman's press conference, which will be on Tuesday. So you're going to have the mailbag and all of our great written content on Monday. On Tuesday morning, you're going to have Rick Spielman's press conference, which will be streamed live on Vikings.com and then presented in on-demand format for the rest of the week. After the Spielman presser, we're going to react to that presser in a lot of different ways with written articles, but also on the Wobcast. We will have another jam-packed edition of the Wobcast. We'll go over some of the best small school prospects in this draft. We'll go over some interesting situations for some prospects in this draft, including Jalen Smith and Miles Jack. We'll have a little game between Nate and I, a pick your side scenario, where Nate and yours truly pit one prospect against another. We make a case for each guy, and we'll get into some more draft stuff on that Wobcast as well. Coverage of the actual draft from Winter Park on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Coverage from the draft party in downtown Minneapolis on Thursday night. And coverage from Draft Town in Chicago on Thursday and Friday. Because, Nate, you're going to the draft this year.
I'm going to the draft. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Is it your first time there?
It is.
Sweet.
It is. It should be a lot of fun. They do a great job. Obviously, the draft in Chicago was enough of a success to have it again there this year.
Right.
So they do a great job of events surrounding the draft as well. So hopefully we can take some of that in and show you guys a little bit of what goes on in Chicago on draft weekend.
Yeah. And hopefully when you're there, the player that the Vikings choose in the first round will also be there. That's the hope.
That would be great.
And if that happens, our traditional meet the pick content that we have every year, that it will begin in Chicago because you'll be there with them. So that'll be really cool. So we'll have Meet the Pick once again this year, where we literally are the draft pick shadow for his first day in Minnesota when he arrives to meet everyone and have a press conference. In the meantime, to whet your appetite for Meet the Pick, we're going to post best of Meet the Pick throughout the years early next week. So when you go to Vikings.com early next week, you're going to see best of Meet the Pick. We encourage you to check that out. Draft room calls. We are lucky enough to have a camera and a microphone in the draft room. We have the phone tapped with permission of GM Rick Spielman.
Right.
We have the phone tapped. We have a camera in there. We have microphones in there. As Rick and Coach Zimmer are calling the draft picks to let them know that they've become Vikings. You can check that out as the draft progresses. We incorporate that into the Meet the Pick piece, obviously, but we also post that on its own as its own piece of content on the website. So that will be there. And then, of course, we'll have daily recaps with GM Rick Spielman, and we'll talk with head coach Mike Zimmer after the first round is over as well. So tons of stuff up right now on the site, and even more coming next week. Did we cover it all?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We thank Lindsay Young for joining us to talk about some of the great content she's been producing, and a great water cooler talking piece on the five greatest Vikings of all time. We thank you, Nate Vaughn, for producing the Wobcast. You do a great job.
Well, thank you.
And we thank everyone for listening. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Until next time, have a great end of the week and a great weekend. Enjoy all the draft content on Vikings.com, and we'll talk to you early next week.
Purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain. That's all right. Come on, y'all.